It is Sunday, the 8th of February 2015, and this is episode 236 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome along to another sunny Sunday afternoon. I am Chris in the host seat and joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good afternoon, Chris. How yes. the devil are you?
I'm good. Back from the gym, looking pretty grotty, but I'm glad I went. And other than that, feeling good.
You're like a glistening Adonis.
Yeah, you're not the first person to have said that today. You are. Rubik's Cube solving, down freaky, 1 minute 26. That's my best one. That's still not quite close to the world record yet of 5.55 seconds.
But that's quite quick.
Getting there. Starting to. Anyway, yes. Average is still 2 minutes, which is not that good.
Do you have a goal? Is it under a minute?
No, I have now pretty much reached the limit of my cubing abilities. Anyway, there you go. Who knew? So let's get on with the news, shall we? And we're going to start today talking about BT, who are suddenly becoming a behemoth, even more than they were before. They've bought EE for £12.5 billion. And this pretty much makes them, say, this Goliath in the mobile industry now. So they, mobile and communications industry, I should say. So we saw this happening in the US, where lots of companies were eating each other up and therefore making these massive firms. So now BT cover all the kind of mobile, broadband, fixed line phones, TV, all sorts of stuff, and have eaten up quite a powerful network as well.
Absolutely. Disappointingly, on the day that they bought EE, I had no mobile phone connection in Glasgow. I see this as an omen.
You're with Three at the moment, right?
No, I'm with EE.
Oh, you're back with EE, okay.
Yeah, so I've been with EE about a year. The 4G speeds for Three were just awful where I was, and it wasn't just seeing city centre in Glasgow. 4G and Three was fine, mm-hmm. But where we were working, we were clearly on the limit of cell towers.
We were in a not spot,
and horrible. It was fine. Now, whether just more people went to them, it was just, you know, a few of us were repeatedly logging faults. It was making no difference. I mean, the thing that was telling was the day I switched to EE, or the day after, my battery life was fantastic. I'd usually go home 10% battery. I went home with like 60%.
Yeah.
And it hasn't
searched so much yet.
It's spending the day just totally hunting. And Three kept on saying, oh, there's no issues. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about EE.
Yeah. So they Deutsche Telekom, who I think pretty much owned Orange, got 12% now of stake in this business. Orange, the old parent company, I can't remember, it's Hutchinson Telecom all came into it. I can't even remember where they are all now, but they own now 4% stake in this new company. They also got just a quick $3.4 billion in cash, you know, just handed over. So there you go. BT have been relentless recently in acquiring all these kind of communications, you know, areas. They were already strong, but now they're massive.
I mean, and I still remember BT CellNet days, you know, so it's like, it just seems ironic that they sold all that off, which became O2.
Yes, they sold O2, which dipped their shares, and the market has reacted by increasing their shares again at the sign of, I mean, the market seems to love a takeover.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't, bigger normally means worse.
I think a lot of the time you see it as it strengthens their position. It does this foreplay. You know, they can offer everything to a home user now, you know, so you can just have everything through BT, the same way that Sky is going to be doing that next year, and Virgin already does it as well. And I think also as well, they just see it as, well, no doubt they'll be streamlining things, you know, so that who needs two finance departments and payroll departments and commercial departments?
That's the argument they have anyway. Talk and Vodafone aren't very happy though.
No, especially Vodafone. They've went from biggest to potentially smallest.
Yeah, what a turnaround, yeah. So they're saying that they desperately want the regulators to make BT spin off Openreach. So Openreach is the fixed landline division, and also covers the kind of broadband that comes down those fixed lines as well. So it is a quite important branch. And it's you know, when a company is now no longer an infrastructure company, is now the biggest company in the in a player, then why should they have that power and the right to open the OpenReach franchise as well?
Yeah, and I think OpenReach, because they did try and spin that off as a, look, we'll treat this as a separate firm. We'll still have to apply through them, you know, for, you know, like broadband connections and stuff, but it is the same firm.
I think the regulator tries, you know, has put rules in place which mean that everyone works, you know, it doesn't matter whether BT goes with a request or anyone else, they should get the same service. But nevertheless, it still makes you query then question that, doesn't it? As a competitor, direct competitor, that you would have thought, what, you know, well, whatever they say doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going on. So yeah, there's talk about that, but BT are pretty happy that that's not going to come into play, and that the, you know, it's up to the British authorities to work out whether this is breaking anything. They'd rather it didn't go to Europe.
Yeah, I just hope we don't see, as I said, EE for me has been really successful over the last year. They are a bit more expensive than others, but the service has been great.
That's flowed through from Orange, right? Orange used to be that kind of, oh, it's really reliable, pay a little bit more, but it's good. And EE took that over.
And BT have never been that for me.
No.
So I'm slightly concerned.
No, they haven't. And I wonder now whether I'm going to get free BT Sport now that I'm an EE customer. I doubt it.
Who knows?
I doubt it. UK mobile phones have also agreed to cut voice and text dead zones. So I don't know if they've agreed, but they've been kind of forced into it. The regulations used to say cover 90% of the population, and they've actually now been tweaked to say cover 90% of the geographic area. So this is quite a significant change around, because obviously 90% of the population do not live in 90% of the geographical area of our country. So it's kind of a big thing. That's my washing machine. Can you hear that?
Nice, yes. Yeah,
brilliant. A podcast gold. Hopefully it's not exploded, but it did sound rather like it had. basically Ofcom have published the results about how much coverage is currently covered by the firms, and it's kind of 82 to 80%, somewhere around that kind of mark.
Yeah, Vodafone 82, O2 and EE have got 78%. And 3, don't know.
Yeah, they didn't come up with a result for 3.
Yeah.
We're just not sure.
Yeah. It can only be a good thing. We covered it when we talked about doing this just at the tail end of last year, so it's good to see this changes there. It is a fairly, I don't know, I mean, it is a fairly big change. It's going to cost quite a lot of cash.
Yeah, and obviously consumers will pay for that. Yeah. And the frustrating thing is that they could do this between themselves, and they were going to do this between themselves. They're going to set up their roaming networks. But the government said that you're going to have to each spend exactly the same money putting masks next to each other, rather than be sensible about this and have a single network, that's where, you know, government rules override sensibleness, really, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like when they deregulated, you know, like gas and power, they didn't turn around and say, yeah, you need to put in separate gas supplies and power supplies into everybody's house, you know, so you can truly compete. So why do this?
No. So, yeah, so they actually separated out the infrastructure from the supply, and that kind of worked quite well. We say that it worked quite well, yeah, because no one's moaning about their gas and electricity prices right now. No. BT also has set out its vision for the future of broadband and high-speed broadband in the country, and they plan on rolling out, basically getting everyone, or majority of people, on 500 megabits per second by 2025.
Initially,
go on.
No, initially, I was going to say initially I thought this sounded, wow, fantastic vision. And then I was like, no, that sounds slow.
Yeah.
That's 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? What feels or sounds fast now will not be fast in that long, you know, 10 years. It's basically, they're setting out this vision because they're trying to... The way to get beyond that speed is to have fibre to the house. Fiber to the premises rather than fiber to the cabinet, but obviously the cost of rolling out fiber to the premises is it's massive. So they've come up with a new technology called G-Fast, which is a sort of fiber and copper mix, and they're hoping that this technology is strong enough to be able to deliver that 500 megabits per second, in 10 years. Some people will see it quicker than that, but it's like you say. It sounds fast now. I just don't think it will sound fast in 10 years' time.
No, not if we want to stream 4K and do all the things that we're expecting to be able to do over the next, you know, even 5 years, never mind 10.
Yeah, I mean, but having said that, you know, the speeds that we've got now are probably greater than we thought we were going to be getting, you know, when we were podcasting 2 years ago. So things do move on, and they might come up with another technology that actually makes this, you know, totally viable and quicker as well. Again, people are willing to pay for this extra speed, so it might be that actually the market is bigger and the people willing to pay money is bigger.
And another little caveat is that who knows what a 5G will bring. You know, and yeah. I think there's a lot of reliance on that might solve the how do we get you know, fast broadband out to people who, you know, are out in the sticks or, you know,
if only they could work out how to make the costs come down on wireless data. You know, it doesn't seem outside the realms of possibility that we should have lower costs for wireless data, but at the moment it's kind of unviable as your everyday broadband. It's kind of okay in some situations, but not for your everyday broadband provider right now. Eero. Right, my governor got an Eero in my house. This is a new smart wireless routing system. The makers are trying to convince me that it's an impossible situation, the current wireless routers. And they make nice little videos that say how easy their product's going to make my life. But it does have some clever tricks and sort of snazzy stuff up its sleeves, right?
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you. Do you get full wireless coverage around your house? No problem.
Yeah, my house isn't a mansion like yours.
Yeah. Mine isn't a mansion. It's a mini mansion, but it's not. No, it's not. Stop. Stop it.
It's only a... I mean, when you're in the West Wing, it feels like a little home, right?
But yeah, so I've got and I've not got the latest Apple router, so I guess that's maybe something I could have went and done. But I've got the kind of last gen plus. I've got an AirPort down the stairs, extending it out because there's just bits of the house that gets nothing. But it's always been a bit of a faff. I've always found wireless around the house a faff. It should just work and it never does. And you buy the latest one and it says it's, you know, double the penetration and it's going to do double the speeds, and it's not. And it doesn't matter how many daft little aerials that people add on, it doesn't seem to make much difference.
Since I did get my latest router, which does have a lot of options, and the setup is, you know, it didn't take 2 seconds to set up, really. So I don't know, this seems like they're trying to solve a problem that was yesterday's problem, and the new routers are better at it. Certainly I didn't have any problems setting up my router, and it's been the most solid that I've ever had my whole network. It certainly used to be a problem that it was virtually impossible to get everything working together, but I'm pretty happy with it now.
Yeah, I still think there's an issue, and we've not even touched on some of the features yet, but I just liked the idea of it was a kind of, you know, nice looking device. They're not worried about putting loads of ports on it. They basically said there's a couple of ports. If you want to go and, you know, place another unit somewhere and hang a, you know, a switch off it and drive lots of ports, you know. So if you want to do all your, like for me, it would be all the gaming side of things, I still want wired, then we'll leave you to do that. I just like the idea that these things should all, you know, add another device in, all of the settings are already on this one, a little bit of Bluetooth nonsense and it'll pick up the settings and you can just plug another device in, extend your network out. It does sound too good to be true.
Yeah, but you know, you can see how it can, you know, this again, it's not beyond the realms of technology to get this working. Yeah, you do need that Bluetooth connection. So they show an example of you just quickly setting up a network that's then available to your mates to quickly come in. These things all mesh together as well, so you don't actually, once you've got the initial router connected, then everything will mesh together and talk to itself. I wonder how they're doing it all securely. That's, you know, that's the other kind of selling point. They're saying that this will do it all securely for you. They're talking about pre-order at the moment, so they're ranging in from $125 up to $499.
Yes, what they're basically saying is it's $300 to get a 3 Eero system right now, but it reckons that once this pre-ordering kind of states out the way, it's going to be $200 and $500.
And this is for 3 units around your house. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So immediately they are saying you need more than one unit then for this thing to work.
I think it just depends on, it's back to depending on the, you know, what kind of house you're in. If you're in a flat, you probably just need the one. If you're over a couple of floors and maybe extending it into a garden area, then you're maybe looking at the three.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of another nice selling point, is you could extend into your garden, into a bottom, maybe you've got a little office shed or something.
Do you have one of them for the stable people? No, I've just got a really old, beaten up, asbestos roofed garage.
Okay.
It's just, if I want to go and die, I just go in there and sweep up some dust. But the interesting thing as well is, like, I'll look forward to seeing how it deals with things like NAT settings for the Xbox and PS4, because that still seems to trip up so many people.
Yeah, and it's really important if you're a gamer. So
it's I mean, we still have issues. Yep. You know, it's certainly in the PS4 that, you know, four of us try to hit a round of golf and it continually, you know, one of us will crap out.
Yeah.
And I'm still sure it's down to NAT settings, incompatibilities, little clashes somewhere, somehow.
Things like that are getting better, though. It's certainly not like the bad old days, that's for sure.
No.
Pirate Bay, back online. It's taken a while, but they are now back and serving torrents. A few areas of the site not down, and they've also ruffled a few feathers with their old, what do they call them, staff workers, but they're kind of moderators, really, right?
Yeah.
They're back, anyway.
Well, the thing is, it's online, but it all seems a bit kind of like, I don't think it's original folk. It seems to be the moderators don't have access to it, and they're now talking about setting up another one. And do you remember ages ago we talked about when it first went down, what, 2 or 3 years ago? And it spawned loads of almost like clones. It's,
yes, you may strike us down, but we will come back more powerful than you can ever imagine.
Yeah, and I'm still seeing the arguments to Google that they should be just take all torrents off of your Google search engine, just remove them all. And I think that's what the record industry is going after. I mean, they're doing millions of takedown, you know, notes.
It's such a shame, though, because torrent as a technology is, you know,
it's fine.
We think things like Steam obviously, you know, 100% rely on it. You see plenty of the, you know, the big MMO type downloads. They all completely rely on that as a technology. So as a technology, it's great. But as you know, as most technologies do, they're enabling, as well as for some companies they're kind of disabling, so that's why they get, you know, bad names.
Yes, and unfortunately torrents is just associated with free music and free video.
Yeah, but that's not, you know, the only place that they are, you know, used. They are.
You are correct.
GCHQ, turns out they are naughty boys and girls, funnily enough. and they're naughty boys and girls because there is a Human Rights Act, one of the regulations in there says, or one of the points in there says, they must be transparent about how they acquire data and things like that, and transfer it between us and other countries, including the US. And up until very recently, they have been non-compliant on that. So they haven't said that, you know, that they have been transferring this data. They've just said that they haven't been compliant because they haven't been transparent about it. And what do you know, whistleblowing does actually lead them to pull their socks up. For anyone who moans at the security aspects of it, if they, you know, they're not trustworthy, basically.
No, absolutely, and a lot of people have, you know, the whole Snowden stuff, and he's released too much and put countries at threat, but it's also showed that governments are really just ignoring, you know, the will of the people right now.
I've said it's not even governments, though, is it? It's actually unelected people behind governments, yeah. And the government, the ministers that we elect have no vision. Well, they have a vision in, but they certainly don't know everything that goes on because they are excluded.
No, clearly not. Well, remember last week it was the guy in the Lords, you know, the terrorists know how to use this, but we don't.
Yeah, so anyway, so they have been pulled to rights on that, but I don't know what those rights are. What are the, you know, don't do that again, naughty, probably.
Mm.
Yes, Twitter reached a deal with Google, so it will now show tweets in, real-time tweets in its search results. This was something that was already in place 2011-ish, until an agreement ran out, and Twitter was obviously trying to keep hold of its bits and bobs, so it then stopped that agreement, but it's now back in place.
Yeah, it used to be great. Used to be able to, it was another part of that whole everything real time, and it was out there, and Google was the main search engine, and it all made sense. And then it popped because the deal popped, and
well, they went with Bing, didn't they? Didn't they switch allegiance?
And I'm sure it was all down to, we need to start making money and Google's too powerful and Google Plus was seen as probably a competitor. And that worked. And it's just good to see it back in that main search engine.
It kind of makes sense they call it their metadata, don't they, around search results now is getting bigger and bigger. And Twitter has its place in there, especially around events. If you're typing and looking for real time information, Twitter is a really good source of that.
It's still for me still beats Facebook and anything else for that real time news. Although everybody's talking about they've only got 284 million. That's as if that's an only. It's still a massive amount of people, and.
Things like weather alerts, there's nothing better because you've got a tweet from an exact location saying exactly what the weather is doing at exactly that moment in time, for things like accident reports, stuff like that. If it was a big, event like, a war zone, you have to query the accuracy of it. But there's some bits of information that come off Twitter that would never come out anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Twitter CEO has also admitted in a kind of leaked memo that they've been awful at cracking down on trolls and abuse on their service, and he's taken full responsibility for that.
And I almost want to say finally for this one as well, because it's been, it has turned into a cesspit. There's just so much abuse on there, so many people get away with it, and they're finally saying they're going to do something positive and constructive about it. I mean, the whole stuff around Gamergate is just alone. Yeah. I know we kind of touched on it a couple of times and then we kind of shy away from it, but it's just the amount of abuse that people can get, the amount of abuse celebs get, the amount even just innocents get. You put up a comment and people can just round on you, and there's nothing you can really do about it. You can do some blocks, but then they just resurface again.
The problem is that they're now moving into the arena of, he's saying we're going to be blocking and banning people left, right, and centre. And the problem is they're now becoming moderators and they're becoming censors. And where's that line drawn? For most sensible people, there's quite an obvious line. But then again, celebrities and famous people deliberately, talk rubbish on Twitter sometimes to stir up, that kind of... I'm trying to think of the right way of putting it. Really, they deliberately make controversy, and people react to it. And
you're gonna get folk like Frankie Boyle will always be sailing close to the edge and things. George Galloway, for whatever reason, will sail close to the edge, and some people will see it. All you have to do is watch Question Time the other night, and the Jewish community believe he is inciting people against him right now. Mm-hmm. He denies it. He says he's not, and it's more Israel's actions that are. Causing a change in people's perception on that particular community. And it's going to be interesting to see as these rules or tools or whatever come into play, are you going to see big players like that, big people you would say, well, he's not racist, he's not been that, he's just, all he meant was.
I say Apple found out to their cost, and they went through a whole period of trying to censor stuff, and that it took them a long time to get to the balancing act where we don't hear stories. We used to hear stories week in, week out about how the next Apple censorship was causing problems. Doesn't seem to be a weekly news story. I don't know if it still goes on. I assume it does, but they've become maybe just better at finding that line. And now Twitter's got to find that line as well. It's not an easy line. In fact, everyone's line is different. That's the problem.
And with big communities like Reddit, who can, you can easily start up something and get thousands of people behind a cause. How are they going to stop? If they did it by, if a certain amount of people complain, then obviously we need to take action. How do they stop? A thousand people just saying, I'm going to complain about this one tweet. This one person should be off because I'm offended by that person's comments, even though the comments might be, true.
It could be a perfectly reasonable comment that someone just happens to not like.
No, you're going to get people, people putting up atheist comments. So you're going to get a whole load of, right-wing Americans turning around and saying, I want that, I'm offended by that particular comment. And this is where it becomes really difficult for freedom of speech.
Where does it become abuse? There's clearly a line, how do you define it?
But I think there is clear... There is lots of clear trolling and abuse right now that they don't take action on, and hopefully This is them going to say, yeah, we need to do something about this.
Yeah, you hear wholly unreasonable amount of stuff.
And also, they're actually making money now because advertisers aren't going to advertise a network that is a cesspit, and it is turning into a cesspit. They have to do something.
Yeah, it doesn't take long for advertisers to suddenly run scared, even though the latest greatest thing. They don't want to be associated with anything with a negative connotation. So they have, and he said, we are going to. So watch out in the next couple of months and we'll see how much Twitter does actually tidy itself up. It'd be nice if it could find that line nice, and get it sorted, because no one likes listening to that. Raspberry Pi 2 has been unveiled. And basically it's got a big processor, quad core. And more memory, so it's got double. It's got about a gig now of RAM rather than 512. So it's kind of just an evolution. Cost about the same price.
I think it is the same price. And what the base is saying is, it's like they've kind of done this thing that says it's six times more powerful, which is really good. I mean, it's only, was it 20? Yeah, £23. Ridiculous.
Yeah, the innards, other than you have to supply your own kind of screens and keyboards and stuff, the innards are probably in excess of all the kind of netbooks that we were looking at not that long ago. And this thing is less than a credit card in size, basically. The old enclosures, if you bought an old enclosure for the Raspberry Pi 1, that'll still fit your Raspberry Pi 2. So as I say, you have to add in your own bits and bobs. It's kind of one of those things, I want to buy one because it's not expensive and it's quite a nice little bit of technology. I just know that it would get here and I just wouldn't do anything with it.
Just like a Chromecast.
Exactly like a Chromecast.
Yeah.
I'm glad I have a Chromecast. I've used it about four times now.
And I'm the same. But the Chromecast it's £20. It's just not something you're going to miss.
No, it's throw. And so, there's a bit of me that does want one of these things. I just know that I won't be innovative with it. It is, they have said that it's going to come with Windows 10. It's going to be a little bit down the line yet. They're going to get it sorted out. But it'll be offered free for people who buy a Raspberry Pi 2 and want to be a creator on it. Clever move by Microsoft, that.
Yeah, just another Microsoft are just doing so well. Yeah. Just such a turnaround. Mm-hmm. Even if the financials don't play that out, just the whole kind of mind share and what people's opinions of them are it is really changed. And this is another great move, so it's, as you say, it's Raspberry Pi is all about Linux just now, but I guess by the end of the year they will be bringing Windows 10 out for it.
And how do we get our products into schools where kids are using them on a day-to-day basis, therefore make them more relevant to them as they leave, get used to the technologies that we offer as far as coding and stuff like that goes? Well, let's make a little, studio program for Raspberry Pi that's really simple to start up with, comes with nice, tutorials and all that, and off you go. There you go. You've got your next generation. And they can do that by getting into schools without having to spend the kind of money that Apple has to spend on all the... schools don't have to spend the money they have to on Apple to get them in the classroom.
I was reading a great stat yesterday. I mean, Microsoft now have over 100 apps on Android and iOS, and that's not including Yammers and Skype and others. And that's a massive figure.
Number, and
we laugh at how they've not got any Windows Phone buyers right now. But you still know Microsoft, even last week in Outlook coming out for iOS and Android, and they're saying it's a great, great client.
And we still laugh about Windows Phone, but we are still yet to have one and have experienced one and to live day to day. And the only, I've had good feedback from people that they enjoy it, so good for them. Google and Microsoft and Amazon are all paying to get around AdBlock Plus. So AdBlock Plus is a browser plugin to stop you being presented with adverts. And basically Microsoft, Google and Amazon are all paying to be on the whitelist to get around those blockages.
It seems a bit, I don't know, it just seems shady, shall I put it that way, from the actual developers of AdBlock Plus, that they say, download our product, we'll hide all these adverts, but we've done deals in the background.
But what they have said is that they put it out in the open. You can actually opt out of this when you sign up to the program. even though they kind of suggest that you shouldn't, and for, you know, for that very reason that Google, Microsoft and Amazon are paying effectively for this service by being on that whitelist. So if you're a small supplier of adverts and you can prove that you're not being, you know, doing things in sly, underhand and aggressive ways, you can also get on that whitelist. They're aiming to just block the biggest, culprits of that kind of tracking and stuff like that. But if, you know, I, even as I say that, I think Amazon, every time you type one search into Amazon, that search follows you around for the next 6 weeks.
But and the thing is, it follows you around on places like Facebook.
It's Amazon, Facebook, you can see your Google listings every time you go back in. Yeah, it's bonkers how it all follows you.
Especially as Mother's Day's coming up, so you're going to be searching for some kind of crazy Mother's Day present, and you're going to Facebook and say,
"That's your excuse, anyway."
Yeah, and I will continually use it. I know what you're saying. I mean, for me, it was always as a laptop user, they always used to say, "Put this on; it saves you battery life because it just kills so many adverts, and it makes the browser a lot more, you know, a lot more usable." So yeah, I can understand. I know there was a lot of news people hated the thought of AdBlock Plus because it just kills a revenue stream.
Yeah.
You know, if this took off, if 99% of the users had AdBlock Plus, the internet would be very different to what we see right now.
But their mission, like they said, and you'll give them the benefit of the doubt, their mission is to get rid of that aggressive advert. It's not necessarily to get rid of the people just trying to earn a living from their website. And that's fair enough. But again, where's the line? And how much does it cost to get over that line, it seems? Under Armour. Ever heard of Under Armour?
Yes.
Have you? Why haven't I heard of that then?
Well, my running hat's made by Under Armour.
There we go. Okay, so they've now bought MyFitnessPal and also Endomondo. So two of the kind of fitness, big players on the fitness
tracking. So I think it's interesting you see that because there's a guy at work who is really into using MyFitnessPal since Christmas. Mm-hmm. He's tracking absolutely everything. He's got his calorie count under control and he's really trying to, you know, get his weight down. So MyFitnessPal has been great for him. And I just said to him through the week, "You're now an Under Armour user." And he went, what's the hell Under Armour? I hadn't heard of it either. And I think it's maybe in certain markets that they're big. So they used to, I think they were mostly known for all their kind of compression gear, not something that I've ever really bought. And I think in certain sports markets like rugby, I think they were more known in some other kind of sports. But they're now, but so like at Christmas, they announced that they were sponsoring Murray. So now Murray's shirt sponsor. So they were breaking, they'd signed up two or three tennis players. I think they're now looking at football teams. I think like Tottenham, they're a shirt sponsor for. So they're obviously breaking into other markets and they're trying to compete with the, you know, Nikes and Adidas. So as everybody's got wearables and has got apps, they've went and bought out.
Well, they've seen that kind of, you know, the vacant hole where there's still an opportunity here and they're making a big, big play here for grabbing up users because... basically, MyFitness has 120 million users compared to sort of Nike's, 20 million?
Yeah.
So it's a massive difference. And plus, they've got Endomondo, which, say, another tracker, and that's also got another 20 million users. So it's huge. I think I might have overstated some of those. But yeah, it's a huge, huge numbers anyway. Far, far more than Nike.
Yeah, and I just hope they don't break. Certainly, MyFitnessPal for me works really well, and I kind of dip in and out of it. There's certain I'll use it for 2-3 months, check everything. What am I eating? Am I still on track? Am I not doing anything daft? You kind of know yourself if you're being daft, but it also helps you track things like sugars and salts. Yeah. You know, it's not just the calorie count, which is usually fine for
and
me.
It's kind of a household name. My sister knows it, uses it. You know, it's listened to where. Wider, when people talk about it in the news, they'll often cover this as a site. So yeah, this is a big play. Clearly they really want to move into this arena, and they've done it by acquiring. Okay, let's. That's the end of the news. So we've got you. Well, you've got a pick or a suggestion, really, today.
Yeah, it's almost a tip. So Google Chromecast. Me and you both have one, and I stumbled on this for the week, and I thought it was American only, but it turns out it's in the UK as well. So if you've got a Google Chromecast, you can go to cast.google.com/Chromecast/offers. And as long as your Chromecast is switched on, it will display some offers. So I actually had four offers. So I was able to add £5 to my Google Play account.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the one that's getting the press this week. So I think they've done this kind of, they're doing it for, I think they're saying for most users. I don't quite understand what the, you know, what the trigger is, whether it's everybody, they don't want to say it's everybody, or whether it's just most. But I was able to add £5 onto my Google Play account. But I also had an option for a 90-day trial for Google Play Music. I had 3 months Now TV trial, and I could get X-Men, the original movie, for free. So I've signed up for the 90-day trial for Google Play Music.
Okay.
Because I've always toyed the idea of like a Spotify or Google Play, and yeah, signed up, and it's been working fine. It's actually been great just having like access to
yeah,
a whole
90 days is a
music.
Nice stretch of time yeah. as well to get really see whether it does work in your life.
Because it's £10 a month, you know, so yeah. it's a you're looking at it straight away, you're thinking, oh, it's £120 a year, so it's a kind of fairly big commitment yeah. to make. But
yeah, go for it. Let us know how you get on.
Yeah. So that's well worth trying. I don't know if you've had a chance to try that yet.
I haven't. I just my Chromecast isn't plugged in at the moment. So yeah, it's just kind of sat there. As my washing machine decides it's going to take off again. Okay, yeah. My only update this week really is that I've now finished Dragon Age Inquisition. I have 96 hours through.
Wow.
Took me to get, and I've pretty much done everything that I can possibly do.
Wow.
So now I've got nothing. I'm in that kind of period of mourning where, you know, I've done it now.
To be honest, I wanted to go and do some Halo because I think they've fixed a lot of the issues, so I need to get back on.
Good to go and find out whether they have, so let's do that.
Yeah.
So I'm now looking for my next escapade. I've actually enjoyed being able to play a game on a console and not be frustrated by it.
Yeah, there's a kind of fairly biggest game out next week. He says, but I can't remember his name, so it's not that big.
Huge. So while you're looking for that, I will say...
Yeah, Evolve.
Oh, yes, Evolve. So lots of sort of hype around that. Whether it's going to be any good, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I mean, I've not pre-ordered it. I know a few of our mates have pre-ordered it and they're all getting quite excited about it.
It was a game that they delayed because I guess it just wasn't ready. So the idea is it's almost like a three-on-one thing. So you play four-player and one person is the huge bad baddie and then you've got three people trying to bring you down. And the whole point is that the longer you survive, the more powerful you get as this big bad baddie, basically.
Yeah, as I said, I remain a bit, but there was an open beta on it, and people really enjoyed it. I didn't even bother taking part. I was like,
I was so sick of just downloading endless amounts of data onto my Xbox and then never using it, so I decided not to.
Yeah, I mean, my Xbox and PS4 are almost full.
Yeah, I'm having to manage now. It's frustrating.
And it's just one of these things. It's like, and I don't really want to go. I mean, I know it's only £100 to get a 4 terabyte drive or something, but I just don't want to do it. It's just another device and another plug and
power.
Yeah.
Yep, no, I agree. So yeah, so I'm having to now heavily manage, which is a bit frustrating. So I will say that's the end of our podcast for today. And if you want to find out more, you can do. DigitalOutbox.com is our website. And you can talk to us, info@DigitalOutbox.com. And we're also on Twitter as Digital Outbox. You may find me on Twitter very, very occasionally, hardly ever, CheesyUK. But you can follow along my racing escapades, academyracer.co.uk. If you want to go and find out about that. So where can we find you, Ian?
My blog is iand.net. One day I'll just be able to say that without like stuttering.
It's only
Twitter
been, what, 10 years you've had that? Is it longer?
Yeah. So I think it's 11 or 12 okay. now.
One day. All right then. So we will talk to you again next week. And thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.
Ta-da. That was a nice positive end. Thanks very much for listening. I just sound depressed.
Boom, boom. Sunday afternoon, let's go and have cups of tea and jam scones.
Eh? You've just been to the gym, man. You can't have jam scones.
No, you can have jam scones because I've been to the gym. It's not true.
No.
I haven't got any jam scones.
Come on.
I haven't. I've got soup. That's it.
Oh.
Unless I go to Tesco's, then I can have some jam scones.